RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala perform Idul Adha prayers at different cities. Minister Luhut optimistic about self-sufficiency in salt supply. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo reportedly joined the echoing of takbir recitations of laudations God is Great at the mosque Masjid Agung in Sukabumi, West Java on Thursday evening, the eve of Idul Adha. Sukabumi Mayor M. Murad said that the President also performed Idul Adha prayer along with the people at the Masjid Agung on Friday morning, September 1st. On his way to Sukabumi, President Joko Widodo was reported to have performed the sunnah fasting of the 9th of Dhu al-Hijjah. Meanwhile, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala performed Idul Adha prayer along with the people in the Istiqlal Great Mosque in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has said in Jakarta recently that he is optimistic Indonesia would be self-sufficient in salt supply in 2019. When inspecting salt farm of state-owned salt producer PT Garam in Sumenep, East Java, Minister Luhut also said that the government has set a target that in 2019, the country will be self-sufficient in salt. He added that Indonesia has 42 salt farming areas mainly in Madura and East Nusa Tenggara in Kupang and Mataram. According to data, at the Office of the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs in 2016, Indonesia needs around 4 million tons of salt a year, including 2.05 million tons of industrial salt and 1.95 million tons of consumption salt. Minister Luhut further said that the government would build a number of salt processing factories in a number of areas, including Madura, which is the largest producer of salt in the country. President Joko Widodo distributed 5,500 land certificates to the local people of Sukabumi in his working visit in Sukabumi, West Java on Thursday. The president symbolically distributed the certificates to 12 selected recipients before all the recipients at the compound of Sekolah Tinggi Pembentukan Perwira in Sukabumi. In his speech, President Joko Widodo reminded the recipients of the land certificates to use wisely for improving their economy. He also highlighted the high intentions to use the certificates as guarantees for loans from banks. President Joko Widodo views that mortgaging the certificates for economic purposes should be calculated wisely.
Ini kalau sudah pegang sertifikat biasanya ingin untuk agunan ke bank, benar?
After having the certificates, most people want to mortgage it to the bank. It is all right, but I remind all the certificate holders to make well consideration and calculation before mortgaging the certificates to the bank. Make sure you can pay the monthly installment and interest. Don't make a mistake by pledging the certificate, but you cannot pay the installment and you lose your land certificate.
Nggak bisa bayar, sertifikatnya hilang.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Agrarian and Spatial Head of the National Land Agency, Sofyan Jalil, on the same occasion said that West Java has more than 19 million fields of land. Of the number, only about 6 million plots of land, or only about 32%, have been certified. Sofyan Jalil added that this year, West Java has a quota for land certification of more than 500,000 fields of land. He said the government targets 25,000 fields of land to be certified in Sukabumi, West Java. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo, in his working visit in the city of Sukabumi, West Java, submitted symbolically 1,211 Indonesian smart cards for elementary, junior high school, vocational and equality students in SMA 1 High School Sukabumi on Thursday. In addition, the president also handed the Family Hope Program cards to 18 heads of family. In his speech, President Joko Widodo expressed his hope that Indonesia's Smart Card and Family Hope Program card, which contain money, is used wisely to support students' learning activities and to maintain the health of family members. The president also reminded people to keep maintaining the unity in Indonesia. He feels that solid unity is really necessary in the midst of the spread of false information or hoax in the community.
Saya hanya ingin mengingatkan kepada kita semuanya, hati-hati. Saya titip kepada Pak Gubernur.
I would like to remind to all of us to be careful. I ask the governor and mayor to bring peace if there is any friction in the community. I also remind all of us not to easily trust hoax. We must cross-check regarding the information. Don't immediately get angry with the hoax information without knowing the truth. Indonesian people are friendly. All of us have different choices in elections, such as in governor or mayor elections. But don't let the difference between us hampering our unity and brotherhood.
A number of ministers, West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan, Chief of Presidential Staff Teten Mas Duki, as well as the Chairman of the Commission, 10 of House Representative Reni Marlinawati, also attended this occasion. Indonesian state-owned toll road operator Jasa Marga issued on Thursday, August 31st, an asset-backed collective investment contract of KIKEBA, the first of its kind, backed by toll road revenue. Jasa Marga managed to raise 2 trillion rupiah, or around $150 million from the issuance, with demand for the security reaching more than twice the target. President Joko Widodo said the issuance ceremony in Jakarta that it is a breakthrough. The president has been struggling to fund his ambitious infrastructure push with faltering tax revenue amid weak economy recovery and increasing demand for subsidies to the poor, which pushed the state's budget deficit dangerously near its legal limit. This contains the government's ability to inject new capital to its infrastructure companies and requires them to find other sources of financing. Under the collective investment contract scheme, Jasa Marga will borrow funds from investors and will pay them back in the next 5 years with the Jagorawi toll road revenue. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with commentary entitled Myanmar's Openness Resolves the Rakhine Conflict. Today, September 1st, 2017, some Muslims around the world are performing the peak of Hajj in Mecca. Simultaneously, Muslims worldwide also celebrate the day of Idul Adha. But the Rohingya Islamic community in Rakhine, Myanmar, is under pressure and suffering. The raging conflicts earlier this week has claimed many lives and resulted in thousands of Rohingyas fleeing to Bangladesh. As the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, Indonesia is also very concerned about the human tragedy in Myanmar. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia regrets the casualties in Rakhine after the August 25th attack. Therefore, the Indonesian government will try to find the best solution. As stated by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Indonesia pushes the Myanmar government to immediately restore the conditions to be normal by restoring the stability and security in Rakhine Province. Both conflicting sides are asked to restrain themselves to possibly avoid violence. The official statement of the Indonesian government presented by Mr. Retno Marsudi uses the expressions of both conflicting sides in order to Indonesia's impartial foreign policy. The hope was delivered to both government of Myanmar and Rohingyas guerrillas known as Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army or ARSA. The government of Myanmar declared that the army conflict this week was triggered by the ARSA attack. Clashes occurred when the military forces of Myanmar struck back. At least 100 people were reported killed in the armed conflict, while thousands of others tried to cross into Bangladesh, which borders with Myanmar and is the country of ethnic Rohingya's origin. Concern over the ethnic chaos in Rakhine is not just from Indonesia. The United Nations and Human Rights Watch organizations are also paying close attention. Bangladesh, as a neighboring country directly bordering on, increasingly overwhelmed the flood of Rohingyas refugees. Similarly, Indonesia also received some refugees from Myanmar. For Indonesia, there is no other way but to try to participate in overcoming the ethnic conflicts that causes this humanitarian crisis, especially with the increasing number of civil society who become victims on both sides. If so far, the government of Myanmar has been closed for the real human tragedy in Rakhine, the political figures of Myanmar must be open to solve the problem. They have to accept advice, input, and assistance provided by neighboring countries, international organizations, and the United Nations. Listener, that was commentary for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Dean Nugraha.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again in Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on September the 1st, 1923, when the Great Kanto Earthquake struck the Kanto Plain. The Great Kanto Earthquake struck the Kanto Plain on the Japanese main island of Honshu on September the 1st, 1923. Varied accounts indicate that the duration of the earthquake was between 4 and 10 minutes. This earthquake devastated Tokyo, the port city of Yokohama, and the surrounding prefectures of Chiba, Kanagawa, and Shizuoka, and caused widespread damage throughout the Kanto region. Its force was so great in Kamakura, over 60 kilometers or 37 miles from the epicenter, it moved the Great Buddha statue, which weighs about 84,000 kilograms and almost 2 feet high. Estimated casualties totaled about 142,800 deaths, including about 40,000 who went missing and were presumed dead. The damage from this natural disaster was the greatest sustained by the pre-war of Japan. In 1960, the Japanese government declared September the 1st the anniversary of the quake as an annual disaster prevention day. The next event was in 1961, when the first conference of the Non-Aligned Movement was held in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. Asia-Africa Conference, which was held on 18 until 24 April 1955 in Bandung, West Java, and attended by 29 heads of state and government, was the inception of the Non-Aligned Movement. The Non-Aligned Movement held the first summit in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, on the 1st until 6 September 1961. On the first conference, the Non-Aligned Movement was established. The first summit of the Non-Aligned Movement was attended by 25 countries. In the first summit, the countries of the Non-Aligned Movement's founders were determined to establish a movement and not an organization to avoid bureaucratic implications in building a collaborative effort among them. At the first summit, it was also asserted that the Non-Aligned Movement is not directed to a passive role in the international politics, but to formulate its own independent position that reflects the interests of those member countries. And the last event, which occurred on September 1, 1963, Bogor Agricultural University was founded. Bogor Agricultural Institute, IPB, is a state-run agricultural university based in the city of Bogor, West Java, Indonesia. The institute began as an agricultural school formed by the Dutch colonial regime in the early 20th century. The first school in Bogor was established in 1876 under the name Lembo School to Buitenzorg, which means agriculture school. Now schools for different fields were opened in the following years for native Indonesians. The institute started in the early 20th century as a veterinary medicine and agricultural school. After Indonesia gained its independence in 1950, Lembo Wetenschappen became the Faculty of Agriculture of the University of Indonesia with three departments: social, economics, physical sciences, and forestry. In 1957, the Department of Land Fishery was formed. Meanwhile, Fakultet for Dyrkargunde became the Faculty of Veterinary Medicines and Animal Husbandry. IPB was founded on September 1, 1963, by the decision on September 1, 1963, by the decision of the Ministry of Science and Higher Education No. 92-1963 and was approved by President Sukarno's Decree No. 279-1965. At that time, the two faculties of Indonesia's universities which are in Bogor were separated into an independent institution. The new university, IPB, has five faculties: agriculture, veterinary medicine, fisheries, animal science, and forestry. In 1964, the Faculty of Technology and Mechanization of Agriculture was added. That's Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. In today's edition entitled Indonesia urges Myanmar government to stop violence in Rakhine. Indonesia condemned the armed group's attack to the police station and refugee shelter facility in Mong Tau, Rakhine State, on August 25, 2017. Indonesia also regretted casualties, injuries, and hundreds of others evacuated. Indonesia expects Myanmar government to take immediate action to restore security and provide inclusive humanitarian protection. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at the Presidential Palace Jakarta, as released by Antara on Tuesday, August 29, said the Indonesian government expects Myanmar to prioritize the humanitarian side in resolving humanitarian conflict for Muslims Rohingya in Rakhine State. Minister Retno Marsudi explained that he her ministry has contacted Myanmar National Security Advisor U Thong Thun to coordinate the situation in Rakhine State. In addition, it also helped all conflicted parties to refrain from violence that potentially exacerbate the security situation. Indonesia declared security protection is a humanitarian domain that must be given inclusively to all communities in Rakhine State. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi Thursday also met with President Joko Widodo to report her work plan to visit Myanmar shortly. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi met with President Joko Widodo to report her work plans to visit Myanmar in the near future. She told the president that she had spoken with several parties, starting from Turkish Foreign Minister, Foreign Minister of Bangladesh, and Annan Advisory Commission for Myanmar, Kofi Annan. Minister Retno told reporters at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, August 30, that Annan Advisory Commission of Kofi Annan said the aid and effort made by the Indonesian government to Rakhine State and Rohingya refugees are very precise. Minister Retno also explained that Kofi Annan has high expectations that Indonesia can help other countries to implement the recommendations that have been issued.
Bagaimanapun juga, Bangladesh dan Myanmar harus melakukan.
However, Bangladesh and Myanmar have to do a good cooperation in handling, especially about the refugees, because without a good cooperation, it will be difficult to handle the refugees. Almost what Indonesia has done fits very well with the recommendations issued by Kofi Annan Commission. Therefore, the hope of Kofi Annan is enormous that Indonesia can help implement the recommendations in Kofi Annan's report. Indonesia is still trying to help Rohingya refugees in various ways, starting from food delivery assistance, logistics assistance, up to the establishment of schools and also the plan to build hospital. Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that Indonesia will continue to take a comprehensive approach to assist Myanmar in resolving the conflict and assisting the Rohingyas who are victims of the conflict. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, Mutia Hafid, continues to support the effort of the government, in this case President Joko Widodo and Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, in resolving the violence in Rakhine. The violence, according to her, is a conflict action against human rights. In addition to pressuring the government of Myanmar to stop violence against the Rohingya community, Mutia also hoped that the Indonesian government will take other initiative approaches. This approach can be done through regional and international organizations. Indonesia could bring the humanitarian case to the United Nations through an emergency session. Listener, that was the focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo reportedly joined the echoing of Takbir, Laudation God is Great, at the mosque Masjid Agung in Sukabumi, West Java, on Thursday evening, the eve of Idul Adha. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has said in Jakarta recently that he is optimistic Indonesia would be self-sufficient in salt supply in 2019. Indonesian state-owned toll road operator Jasa Marga issued on Thursday, August 31st, an asset-backed collective investment contract of KIKEBA, the first of its kind, backed by toll road revenue. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, we meet again in the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to various typical culinaries of Idul Adha, so stay tuned. Listeners, on September the 1st, 2017, every Muslim celebrates Idul Adha. Idul Adha is the holiday of Islam to commemorate the occasion of sacrifice. The sacrifice was an incident where the Prophet Ibrahim vowed to sacrifice his beloved son Ismail to Allah, God Almighty, yet later he was replaced by a sheep thanks to the power of God. On this holiday, Muslims usually perform Idul Adha prayer together. After finishing the prayer, they slaughter the sacrificed animals to commemorate Allah's commandment to Prophet Ibrahim to slaughter the sheep as the substitute for his son. Generally, after the slaughtering of sacrificed animals, the meat will be given to the poor and needy people or the local society. Then the people will cook the meat, either it is the cows or sheep or goat, into the typical culinary menu of Idul Adha, such as the goat curry. Listener, Aceh people process the goat to be the curry, or commonly called kuah si kambing. The culinary is made of the goat meat with a mixture of its bones. Then it is cooked with a curry condiment. The curry is made of the abundance of various spices. The goat curry is extremely delicious if it is eaten with a warm rice, ketupat or rice cake, or roti canai. Similar with Aceh, where Sumatra people has also their typical culinary, similar with the goat curry. But there are a little bit difference. West Sumatra people use more chili. People of West Sumatra call the culinary with cincang kambing. On the holiday of Idul Adha, Gorontalo people commonly process the goat into the culinary called kambing bakar belanga or belanga roasted goat. This menu has been assimilated with the culinary of Arabic people. It is called kambing bakar belanga because its cooking process uses belanga, a traditional container made of clay and iron. Since it is the acculturation with Arab people, this culinary can be enjoyed together with nasi kabuli or kabuli rice. The nasi kabuli is the rice cooked with a goat broth, goat milk, and samin oil. While Banten people usually cook the goat, and it's inert to be the culinary called Arabic. the goat and its innards are cooked with various ingredients such as shallots, garlics, white peppers, nutmegs, cinnamons, gingers, calangals, cayenne pepper, and soy sauce. The sweet taste is really dominant. This culinary is eaten with a steamed rice, cooked with coconut milk, added with emping cracker and pickled cucumber. Nowadays, rabak is not only enjoyed during Idul Adha because many restaurants in Banten offer rabak. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic of various typical culinary of Idul Adha. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feasts, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Listener, today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress gambale has its own meaning. Namely, black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abdau is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to Grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If Grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abdau fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. In Sambas region, West Kalimantan province still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in the regular program Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian songs. To welcome the Feast of Idul Adha, in today's edition, we will present you several religious songs from Indonesian various musicians. To initiate our program, we will play a song from Naura Vocal Group entitled Hanya Sementara.
Waktu tak lagi kan berputar. berbangga
tentang hidup yang hanya sementara.
Bila esok tak pernah tiba, tersisa amalan semata. Segala yang ada fana di dunia kan kembali kepadanya. Bila ada waktu tersisa, sempatkanlah untuk bertanya, masihkah kita mengingkarinya? Hidup kita hanyalah sementara.
Listener, that was a song Hanya Sementara by Nora. That song invites the listener to realize that life is very temporary and fills the rest of the time with good things. The songs created by Mala and Tantra Numata were performed quite nicely by the four Nora personnel. Although only 3 years plunged in the world of Indonesian religious music, Naura is able to captivate the listeners, of course, while still preaching through the lyrics of the song. Many music groups in Indonesia are also releasing religious songs. Noah is one of them. In the year 2016, group band from Bandung released a song titled Sejadah Panjang. Previously, this song has been popularized by Bimbo and Gigi. That Taufik Ismail songs implies a long journey of human life from birth to the death. Well, listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Sejadah Panjang dedicated by Noah Group Band. Happy listening.
dari kaki buayan sampai ke tepi kuburan hamba, kuburan hamba bila mati ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan sujud di atas sajadah yang panjang ini, diselingi sekedar interupsi mencari rezeki, mencari ilmu, mengukur jalanan seharian. Begitu terdengar suara azan, kembali tersungkur hamba. Ada sajadah panjang terbentang, hamba tunduk dan ruku, hamba sujud tak lepas kening hamba, mengingat di kau sepenuhnya.
Listener, that was a song Sajadah Panjang dedicated by Noah. If Noah re-releases the song by Bimbo, Fidi Aldiano chooses the song ever sung by Daddy Dukun. In 2015, Fidi Aldiano was duet with Alika performing a song titled Akhirnya. The song tells a person who just realized that she was walked away from God's command and expressed her desire to return to repentance. Fidi Aldiano chose the song Akhirnya because it has deep and universal meaning. Lagu Akhirnya. Listener, religious song in Indonesia is not merely about obeying the commands of religion, repentance, nor about how short and the life of this world is. There is one religious song that tells how God with all the power creates diversity on this earth, entitled Agamamu Agamaku. Released on June 2017, this song is the result of Tompi's work featuring Glenn Fredly and Bertha McCarthy. The song Agamamu, Agamaku is part of Thompi's religious album entitled Hidayah, Carita Orang Basudara. Through the album, Thompi shares not only Islamic values but also the value of diversity and humanity. Well, listener, to end our music corners today's special editions of Idul Adha, I'll play the song Agamamu Agamak. Happy listening and see you in the next editions of Music Corner.
Apakah yang selalu kau cari dalam hidup dan matimu? Di setiap hembusan nafasmu tak cukupkan nikmati lahir yang mengalir di setiap nafasmu, samudra jiwamu tak pernah berhenti. Nikmat Tuhan yang mana sanggup engkau ingkari, yeah.
Tuhan ciptakan beragam beda, takkan sanggup akalmu meraba. Tak diperintahkan jadi sama, agamamu agamaku hidup bersama.
Sadarkah Tuhan yang kau adu saat akal sudah tak mampu alahkan emosimu? Rendahkanlah nada suaramu,
redupkanlah marah hatimu, matikan genderang perangmu, ikhlaskan maafmu.
Ikhlaskan maafmu.
Tuhan ku bersujud memohon ampun dosaku.
Tuhan ciptakan beragam beda, takkan sanggup akalmu meraba. Tak diperintahkan jadi sama, agamamu agamaku kita hidup bersama.
Tuhan ciptakan
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.